Matthew 6:19, Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, we get to decide where our heart's at. You get to decide where your heart is based on where you put your treasure. So I love Jesus. Amen. Then put your money there, because that's where your heart will go. That's good stuff right there. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24 now, I have decided to follow Jesus. Here we go, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Cannot. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us decide who we're going to follow. God, I pray we would choose you. But even as your children, that's still a choice we have to make. We may be saved and forgiven. We still have to decide if we're going to serve you. God, help us make that choice. Help us make the right choice. Because we can't serve two masters, Lord. Show us, Lord, if we have another master. Point that out to us. And help us to turn from that and turn to you. Fully embrace you. Fully surrender to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking here. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Not one man. There's not a man alive that can serve two masters. Nobody in here can serve two masters. It's going to be one or the other. You can't do two. You could try, but you won't. But God says either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. That's how it's going to be. It's one or the other. It's not, I'm going to try both. It doesn't work like that. Serving God doesn't work like that. And that's what it's talking about here. Who are you going to serve? Who's going to be your master? I mean, we've looked at it just a few different ways. Is money our master? Is it money that we love? What is our focus on? If thine eye be single, what are we focused on? Are we focused on the Lord and what the Lord wants for us? Are we focused on the things of this world? And we're continuing with that this evening here, looking at no man can serve two masters. Who's the master we're going to follow? You know, God wants and expects exclusive worship, and you must decide if you're going to serve Him or you're going to serve stuff. You have to make that decision. Who or what are you going to serve? It's an impossibility to serve two masters. You're going to have to make a choice as to which one you're going to obey. Because it's an obedience issue. You're either going to obey God and follow Him, or whatever else you've made your master, you're going to obey that and the dictates that that tells you you have to do. What you have to do. That can be all sorts of things in this life. That can be the circumstances we're faced with. It could be maybe something at work where they're making you do something that you think, I can't do that. That goes against what I believe. Then you're going to have to decide who your master is. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying here. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon or God and this world. It's one or the other. I'm telling you, the best way to make sure you serve God is to decide right now that you're going to serve Him. Before you're in the situation, before you get there, decide what you're going to do. Because when you're there, you're going to want to do the easy thing. You're not going to want to do the right thing, because the right thing's usually the hard thing. So decide now what you're going to do. That way when you get there, the decision's already been made. You say, okay, I know what I'm doing. It's hard, I don't want to, but I know what I'm going to do. So maybe you're in a situation where you're at work and they're telling you, well, you have to do this, you can't do that. You can't talk about Christianity here. You're going to have to do this. You know, we got gay marriage and transgender and all that stuff is coming out right now. And they're going to start making us do things and say things and accept things that we don't want to and we don't agree with. And it may cost us something. It may cost us something. We talk about the Lord, even if they bring it up. The day is coming when it will be illegal no matter what. To talk about the Lord at work. See, everybody can have, you know, they can have freedom of speech and they can say whatever they want until what we say, till we bring up Jesus Christ. I just watched a video this week of a town hall meeting, and it looked like some protesters went there to protest, and as they started to pray, I mean, the whole time they're just shouting, yelling, all sorts of stuff, and separation of church and state, and all these different things there, and this man's there, he's trying to pray, and he realizes they're not going to be quiet, and he just keeps praying, and the whole time he's praying, they're just yelling things out and shouting things, and just complete disrespect. And then he gets to the end, and he says, three words that get everybody fired up and fighting mad, angry. In Jesus' name. And they start screaming and shouting, and then the video cuts off. I mean, loudest they've gotten the whole time. In Jesus' name. They hate the Savior you stand for. They hate your master. And we have to decide, is He going to be my master? Am I really going to follow Him? Because I can't serve God and mammon. I have to decide. You have to decide. The day's coming, our Christianity may cost us something. It's already cost people. You've got the bakers that wouldn't bake the gay cake. You've got the photographers that wouldn't photograph the gay wedding. It cost them. They chose to stand. Thank God. Thank God, because that's what will make changes here. It is. It's going to have to cost people something. People are going to have to be willing to stand. That's how we got the liberties that we have right now, is because people were willing to stand. They say, I can't serve God and mammon. I know who I'm going to serve. We have to decide who we're going to serve, because you cannot serve both. It may cost us something. You will make a choice if you say, well, I'm not going to. I don't want to have to make a choice. You made your choice then. Right. If that's what you're saying, I just can't choose. I'll tell you who you chose. You didn't choose God. Right. You did not choose God. If you're not just out and out saying, I'm choosing to follow Jesus Christ, you made your choice. You chose your master. By default, you chose. There's no middle ground. Most people don't want to make this choice, and will do anything to avoid choosing a side. And most people won't. Most people don't stand for anything. Elijah told the people in 1 Kings 18:21, says, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? There's two decisions here. There's two ways to go. How long you stop, halt ye? How long you stop between these decisions? What are you going to do? That's what he's asking them. He says, the drought's been going for 3 years. He runs into King Ahab, wicked king there is. He says, you go gather all your prophets of Baal. Go get them all. Let's go to Mount Carmel. Then all the people are gathered together there, and he stands there. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long do you stop between two opinions? How come you won't decide where you're going to stand? And look, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. God's people need to ask themselves. How long halt I between two opinions? Why won't I choose? He goes on to say, if the Lord be God, follow Him. If Jehovah is God, then follow Him. That's what he's saying. Amen. That's what we should say. But if Baal, then follow Him. And the people answered him not a word. They stayed there. I'm not choosing. I'm not making a decision. They didn't want to say anything. We think cowards. Cowards. Well, how come we don't speak up for the Lord? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. You know what he said? Hey, if the Lord is God, then follow Him. But if Satan's God, then follow Him. That's who Baal is. And follow Satan if you want to follow Satan. Follow after the world if you want to follow. Because you can't serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. Christians, it's serious. It's serious. We want to be engaged in God's work, in the Lord's work. Taking light into darkness. I can't think of one enemy you go in on their territory and they're going to be happy. They're just going to let you on in. I'm telling you, what we're engaging in is spiritual warfare. Spiritual battle. It's real. It's not like some pretend thing that's out there that's, oh, that's not really real. I mean, we can't see it. So it's not really real. That's just, you know, preachers talk about that stuff, but it's not real. No, it is. Jesus was tempted of Satan. I mean, there's another time Elisha's standing there with his servant Gehazi, and Gehazi's freaking out because I think it was the army of Syria surrounds them. And he's like, we're going to die. They surround the city that they're in, and Elisha's just sitting there like, he's like, there's no problem here, no issue here. And his servant's freaking out. And Elisha prays. He says, Lord, just open his eyes. And God opens his eyes, and he sees that they're just surrounded by the Lord's host all around them. It's no problem here because there's a spiritual battle going on. Man, I think Elisha must have been praying. I think he must have been walking with God. See, we want to go in and pierce the darkness with the light of the gospel. We better be walking close to the Lord. We better pull up real close to the shepherd. Going through the valley of the shadow of death, I want to be real close to my Savior. He's the one that can protect us. I would never want to go against Satan, ever. I'm not strong enough, I'm not powerful, and I'm not even close. Amen. Not even close. I'm like, here, you deal with my big brother. He's going to take care of that, not me. I mean, you know, you get a little kids getting picked on the playground, and then big brother, big sister even finds out. And you know, they march over there. They're like, you picking on my little brother? No. I mean, amen. That's what I want happening to the Jesus going up to Satan. Don't be picking on my little brother. Amen. Amen. It's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. We've got the same father. Amen. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Look, we have that time every time. Just about every time I preach, there's a time to choose. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve mammon? And the people answered him not a word. Look, I hope we have an invitation. You're making a decision for the Lord. I hope you are. You're saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. I got to do it every day. Sometimes more than once a day. Like I said, you will choose, and the one you obey is where your allegiance lies. The one you obey. If you bow down to what the world says and you back off, then that's where your allegiance lies. Look, as Christians, if we're going to stand boldly for the gospel, I praise God for the liberties we have, but if we're going to stand boldly for the gospel and what the Bible teaches, then there may come a day when they're going to call us rebels. You're rebellious. You're not, you know, bowing down to the government and doing whatever the government tells you. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Our government's already called some preachers and brought them in and coached them, and here you need to teach your people to obey Romans 13. That's the same thing Hitler said, by the way. That's the same thing Hitler said. You need to obey Romans 13. Lord willing, this year I'm going to teach on government, okay, and what's the proper role of government within the Bible, and what's a Christian to do. When is civil disobedience allowed? Is it allowed? I think most of you know, I've touched on it some, that yes, it is allowed. You know, Acts chapter 4, chapter 5, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. Because who's the higher authority? See, it's just the military understands this, the chain of command. You know, if you have your lieutenant ask you to do something, but the captain says to do something else, guess who you obey? You better listen to the captain, because he is higher authority. It's like if the captain tells you, but the colonel says something else, you better obey that colonel. And you tell him, well, the colonel told me to do this. I know who I'm going to follow. Well, that's how it is here. So there's a separation of church and state. Okay. There's not a separation of God and state. God is still over everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He still owns this whole world. The earth is his footstool. He's in charge. He has the ultimate authority. So if our government tells us to do something contrary to this, then we better ask ourselves, hey, if the Lord be God, then follow him. But if the USA government then follow that. How long halt ye between two opinions? Who are we going to follow? That's what it's going to look like. I mean, we act like this stuff isn't real, and Christians haven't faced it before. How many of you ever heard the term of, you know, throwing a pinch of incense to Caesar? You ever heard that statement, something like that, something similar to that? Okay, in Rome, right after the time of Christ, Christians were being killed because they wouldn't throw that pinch of incense to Caesar. Because what was that saying? Because Caesar was recognized as a deity, as a god. And that was an offering to him as a god. And the Christians said, I can't do that. And they were imprisoned, fed to the lions, Colosseum, that type of stuff. You know, and it was used as entertainment for the masses. Let's just watch this brutal, bloody bloodbath. Let's just entertain them, entertain the people, kind of like UFC. Just entertainment, entertain the people. But that pinch of incense, the Christian said, I can't do that because he's not God. I only have one God, and I won't do that. Now put yourself in that situation. Put yourself there. There's real life that happened to people, and they had to make a decision. What are you going to do? If you've had your chance and you've had chance after chance, the government's come to your door and said, hey, this is, you know, we've been here three times and you still have not gone down to give your offering to Caesar. This is your last chance. If you don't show up tomorrow at this time, we're coming for you. You're going to go to prison, and we're going to march you down to the Colosseum, and we'll see how you do versus the lions. But this is your last chance. Now, what are you going to do? Think about that. Mom and dad, they're asking you to do that, and you've got three young children at home. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to protect them? Well, they're asking for you two to show up. Not your kids, not yet. So you two have to be there. And if you don't, you know you're going to die. And I can imagine justifying it. So I have to, Lord, you understand. I mean, I have to take care of my children. I can even quote some Bible for that. You know, if a man doesn't provide for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. You don't want me to be like an infidel, do you, Lord? You cannot serve God and mammon. If the Lord be God, then follow him. If Caesar, then follow him. And what decision are you going to make? What will you do? Be a fugitive then? Run? Let's go. We got to get out of here right now. Likely. Hopefully. But then they catch you. They got a sword to your throat. Drag you over there. Throw that pinch of incense. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? They're holding a sword to your throat. Cut your head off. Your children are watching you. Your wife's watching you. Your husband's watching you. What are you going to do? See, this is what they faced. This isn't a joke. This is what real life people face. People like you and me, Christians that believe the Bible like you and me, stood there and faced things like this, had to make decisions like that. Circumstances similar to that. It's no different for us today when they say, hey, you have to do this at work. You have to accept this. In Canada, the government workers there, I just read an article this week that they're making the government workers in Canada take some LGBT transgender test that was made by the LGBT community. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. And if you look into that thing, that acronym goes on like forever. I mean, there's like 20 letters to that thing now, and it all represents something. And by the way, pedophilia is thrown in there. They're already defending pedophilia. But in that test, if you don't pass with at least an 80%, they haven't said what they're going to do yet, but you get three chances to pass. You better answer right, or you'll lose your job. So that's no liberty of conscience. So if the Lord be God, then follow Him. No man can serve two masters. So you're either going to bow to the government or you're going to bow to God. The one you obey is the one you follow. That's where your allegiance lies. You can make up all the excuses you want. Well, I had to do it for this. Okay. But you said where your allegiance lies. See, it costs us nothing right now. But I'm telling you, just look at, pay attention to what's happening. I'm not trying to scare us or anything like that. I'm really not. I'm just, man, if you got your ear to the ground, you know what, it's coming. If you're just looking farther down the road, the prudent man looketh well to his going. It means I'm looking farther down. What's up ahead up there? I mean, none of us drive down the road looking in the rearview mirror. Like, okay, I didn't hit that car. We don't do that. That's insanity. Who drives like that? We look down the road so we can be careful. The prudent man looketh well to his going. If you're just paying attention to what's going on in our society, it's getting worse and worse. Persecution's come. It's here. People are facing it already. They can't have their business because they won't serve sodomites. They say, no, you can't come into our bed and breakfast. You can't tell us we have to marry them. We're not going to take their picture. By the way, they've gone into Muslim bakeries and asked them to bake gay wedding cakes and they refused. Where's the liberal media on that? Why aren't they crying about that? Why isn't there an issue made about that? So while the liberals, no. Because the God of this world's running both. Satan's the author of Islam. He's the author of Islam. It goes hand in hand with what the liberal world says, even what so-called right-wing world says so much, it's not liberty. It goes hand in hand with it. So they're not going to make a fuss about it. Because they're all serving the same God. They're all following after the same master. It's already costing people something in this country. Think about it. If your business, if you had a business running and they shut it down because you refuse to do something against what this book says, you say, I'm not going to do that. What's the Constitution for? We better start standing for that thing. You say, preacher, you make a big deal about it. Amen, because that's what's protecting us so we can do these things. So we can have discussion with people, so we can share the gospel with them and win them to the Lord by having open discussion. Everybody wants freedom of speech until you offend them. And then it's no good anymore. You can't say that's hate speech. What is hate speech? But these things are coming down the road and it's going to put us in a place. How long halt ye between two opinions? What's your decision? Who are you going to serve? No man can serve two masters. You're going to hold to the one, hate the other, or love the one and despise the other. That's what it's going to be. I'll tell you right now, amen. Some of you might not like this, but I love Jesus and I despise government. Man, I can't stand it. Amen. It's a necessary evil that needs to be chained and limited by our Constitution, but I want as little of it as possible. Stay out of my life. If I want to add a stinking shed in my backyard, I want to do it without your permission. I'll move on from that. I just want as little of it as possible. It talks there in Matthew about a master, having a master. Who's your master going to be? The verses before that says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. It talks about our eyes. Psalm 123:2 says, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of their mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. But it talks about as the eyes of a servant look unto the hand of their masters. Because how it was back then is people in Bible times, they had servants, and a good servant, just like even today, a good waiter, is there watching you. And back then, if you had a good servant and you had a guest come to your house and you're in conversation with your guest, you could just go like that and your servant's watching and they knew what to bring. They knew what was needed. If you've ever gone to a good restaurant, you have a good server. I mean, I'm serious. You can be like that and they'll come and they'll see what's needed and they'll give it to you. Why? Because they watch the hand of their master. To say or other place, they'll be like, and the servants, boom, they know what to do because they're watching the hand of the master. Their eyes on the master. Is our eye on our master? It is on the master. The question is, who's your master? Whose beat are you marching to, the Lord's or the world's? You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and this world. The choice you make will make you an enemy with the one you rejected. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Man, I like the Bible. It's like a sword. I should have sharpened this before, but I tell you oftentimes I don't ever know what I'm going to do when I get up here. This will work even if it's not sharp. It divides. The Bible cuts straight. You're either a friend of the world and the enemy of God, or you're the friend of God and the enemy of the world. There was no mincing words right there. None. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Is that good or bad? It's bad, isn't it? Adultery? It's cheating. It's wickedness. God's talking about spiritual adultery here. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? If you're going to be the friend of the world, you're an adulterer. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve Him. But if Baal, then follow him. If Caesar, follow him. If government, follow him. Who's it going to be? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You will choose a master. And if it's the world, you are the enemy of God. You've made your decision. We're commanded not to love this world. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. I'm going to read as soon as I get there. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We are given a solemn warning about our affinity for the world as a master. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he tells us what the world is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's of the world. We look in Matthew chapter 6. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's really speaking about money for the most part, but mammon can be likened to anything in the world. But money in itself is not evil. But remember, it will always try to pull you away from serving God. It will. It will always try and pull you away from serving God. Sometimes, many times, most of the time, the worst thing that can happen to people is that they're blessed financially. Because there's something about when you're dead broke that you're so dependent on God. And then when you start being provided for and everything's there, you stop depending on Him. You lose focus on Him. And you say, we got this. And your heart, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, can turn away from Him. Jesus is pretty clear with those that want to serve God in the world. There's no middle ground. If we look there with King Solomon and the two mothers that, you know, one of them rolled over on their baby or whatever, the baby died. The one mother stole the child in the middle of the night, and the other mom said, "That's my child, you stole my baby," and they take it to King Solomon, and King Solomon says, "Okay, hey, I know what to do then. Cut the baby in half, give half to her," and the real mother said, "What? No, no, no." The fake mother was like, "Yeah, okay, fine, whatever," because she'd already lost her child. But the real mom was like, "Okay, just give it to her then. I don't want the baby to die," because it had a real love for the child. The pretend mother was all for dividing the child. The false Christian wants God and his idols too. The false Christian. "I'm just going to add Jesus to all my idols, all my sin." We talked about this last night in class. No repentance. No surrender. "I'm not willing to turn. Just give me Jesus. Let me just add Jesus to everything I'm doing, to the wickedness that I'm doing." Got so-called professing Christians doing keg stands, posting it on Facebook. What? A keg stand. If you don't know what that is, good. Praise God you don't know what that is. I shouldn't have even said it. But just getting wicked drunk. No shame. No shame. But I'm a Christian. See, the false Christian says, "Divide it. Give me my Jesus and my idols." Here's what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." Paul's talking to the Thessalonians. He said, "This is how we came in unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." They made a decision. They said, if God is Lord, then we're going to serve Him. You can't serve God and mammon. They chose. They turned from their idols and they turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. They accepted Him. They followed Him. Matthew Henry said this about 1 John 2:15. "Whatever is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is mammon. To some their belly is their mammon, and they serve that. To others their ease, their sleep, their sports and pastimes are their mammon. To others worldly riches, to others honors and preferments. The praise and applause of men was the Pharisees' mammon. In a word, self. The unity in which the world's trinity centers. Sensual, secular self is the mammon which cannot be served in conjunction with God. For if it be served, it is in competition with Him and in contradiction to Him." Man. Look at some of the things this man said. I forget when Matthew Henry, I think it was in the 1800s. I forgot to look when he lived. But he said, "To some, their belly is their mammon. To others, their ease, their easy life, their sleep, their sports and pastimes are their mammon." Does that speak to America today? We're entertainment crazy. It's got to be all about what I can do, what I can get out of it. Sports have taken over. That's a god in this country. Sports are a god in this country. They're an idol in this country that people bow down to and worship. So how do you know that? Start asking your average high school student, your average even middle school student. "Give me some statistics about this sports figure, this sports figure, this sports figure." And they'll just bam, bust them out. Boom, 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 boom. Ask, quote me a Bible verse. Nothing. So you tell me, you cannot serve God and mammon. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? You serving the Lord? Sports and their pastimes. Some people it's fishing, golfing. Whatever, reading. I'm for reading. Some people worship that. I need my alone time. I need my me time. Okay, that's your mammon. To others it's riches. To others honors and preferments. The praise and applause of men was the Pharisees' mammon. That can be something Christians desire. People like to be noticed for what they do. That's what the Pharisees wanted. We saw that as we went through Matthew 6. Matthew 6:2 says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." They got their reward. They got the praise of men. Everyone's like, "Ooh, wow, look at them. Hey, yeah." That's what they wanted. They got their reward by giving. They're giving. You know, make a big old show about it, have a trumpet procession go before you. That'd be like walking in here and you know, have someone going before you. "We present to you, so-and-so is about to put their offering in the offering plate." And then they come down all, and drop it in the offering plate. You know, that's, I'm exaggerating somewhat, but that's what they were doing. They were playing a trumpet as they're coming to give their offering. God says they have their reward. You give, so don't worry about what anyone says, what anyone sees. God says, "I see." That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. We have to choose who we're going to serve. God demands exclusive worship. Turn with me one last spot here. Revelation chapter 3. You know, I sometimes wish we had church, you know, 6 days a week. I do, because there's so much I want to preach. There's so many things I want to hit on. And I don't know if we'll hit it this year. I would like to, but it might be next year. I don't know. I want to preach a series here on the seven churches of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We're looking here, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. The church in Laodicea, it's the last one. Here's what God says to them. Jesus, this is a message from Jesus to this church. He says, "I know thy works." So I know what you do. I know how you're serving me. I know what's going on there at the church of Laodicea. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." I wish you were one or the other. He's saying, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve Him. If Baal, then follow Him. "But I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm..." Hey, is God talking to you right here? "So then, because thou art lukewarm, because you're halt between two opinions, because you won't choose, because you won't serve Him, because you're embarrassed of what your friends might think, if you stand for the name of Christ... You're afraid of what your family will think if you stand for the Lord. Because thou art lukewarm. "Neither cold nor hot. I will spew thee out of my mouth." You make God sick. No other way to put it. You spew something out of your mouth. You make Him sick. He's vomiting you up. This is disgusting. I can't stand this. He says, if you want to serve the devil, then go after him. But choose. Quit pretending like you're going to serve me. Quit playing the part like you're going to serve me. Decide. "Because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Verse 18, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eye with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Christian, choose you this day whom you will serve. You cannot serve God and mammon. Who is your master? Let's pray.